Well, Kevin, I think we better admit something before we get too deep into the end zone this week.
Yeah, that we thought the Patriots were going to win.
That we thought the Super Bowl was going to be a snooze fest.
Yeah, that's true.
Because honestly, at least in my lifetime, from start to finish, that might have been the best Super Bowl I've seen.
I don't know about that. It was definitely exciting. The Giants-Patriots Super Bowl when the Patriots' undefeated season was on the line with the Tyree catch and all, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is that it just, from start to finish, you never felt like either team was out of it. And there were times in those other games where it just felt like, okay, maybe they're out of it and it's going to take something special
happening. It's funny you say that, even though the Patriots were down, what was it like, by 10 points or was it 10 points or 13 points? And you're like, yeah, they're not out of it.
Yeah, exactly. After last year, everybody was like, no, it's not enough. I even joked with our good buddy, the Super Swede, Pete. I think it was when the Patriots were down 13 and he texted something. I said, oh, come on. You've got them right where you want them.
Now, remind me here. There's someone that posted, one of my friends on Facebook said that the Patriots have now lost, I think they're tied for losing the most Super Bowls. Is it like 5 Super Bowls?
They've won 5 altogether. I think they're 5-5 in Super Bowls because they've won 5 with Brady. They lost 2 with Brady, or they might be 5-4. They lost 2 with Brady, lost the one they went to year with Bledsoe when Parcells was the coach.
And they lost to the Bears. Lost
the Bears in 85. So I think they're 5-4. So they have 4 losses in the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, I thought it was 5 because I know Denver's lost a lot too, and then there's of course the Bills that lost 4 straight. So yeah,
I think 4 is ties it because Denver's lost 4, Buffalo lost 4, and now the Patriots have lost 4.
But they still got 5 Super Bowls, man. That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but still not tied for the best. That still belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but let's talk about this game, Kevin, because I don't think it went the way any of the analysts thought it was going to go or anything. The Eagles did the one thing that when we talked about this a little last week, that I've said every other team against the Patriots has done. The Eagles never played scared.
No, that's true. They seemed to stay in the game and they had a focus that I'd never seen anyone that was in a one-and-done situation against the Patriots before, if you notice that. By the way, do we want to let people know how to find us first before we get into the
date? Yeah, you're right. I'm excited for the game, a little punchy, but, of course, this is The End Zone. We're on the Fandom Podcast Network, and, of course, you can find all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, if you're using a mobile device, you can use the Podbean app. Or if you have iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play on your Android devices, just look up Fandom Podcast Network and you can find End Zone and all your great shows there. Visit our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Of course, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network. On Twitter, at FanPod Network. On social media, I'm at A Kyle W, waiting for the sequel Brady Strikes Back. And on Instagram, I'm A Kyle Fandom. Hallelujah for the fall of the evil empire. Kevin, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Now back to your point about Philly. Not playing scared seemed to be in the driver's seat most of the time, even though they lost their lead eventually, there was still a certain confidence or something about the team that was like, you know, we're going to go down and score one way or another here, you know, because both defenses, let's be honest here, weren't playing up to par. And, you know, some people say, well, it wasn't Brady that lost that game. It was their defense. Yeah. There's other portions of it there. Him not catching his, the pass to him that didn't help either. But I mean, There was something about Philadelphia, this playoff run here, that just seemed different, and eventually it became a championship characteristic, I guess.
You know what? I think this goes to their coach, Doug Peterson, who just coaches without fear. They went for it on fourth down a couple of times.
By the way, I have to compliment you on that, because you're absolutely right. Coaching without fear. Did you see him on the sidelines? He was just like, I don't know if commanding is the right word. Just like, we've got this.
Yeah. Well, and Doug Peterson's an interesting story, because if you think about it, he was forever the backup to Brett Favre. And Brett Favre, he's like one of the few people that Brett Favre like really respects completely. Like, he would go through a wall for Doug Peterson. He was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City for the first couple of years. Andy Reid was there, so he kind of learned under that Andy Reid tree. And so when he took over the Eagles last year, he helped develop Carson Wentz, but he's always been like this. It's just, I'm not going to be afraid to play the game I want to play. And we got to beat the Patriots. We have to stay aggressive. And they did. They weren't afraid to go for it on fourth down a couple of times. And the Eagles, if you look at the playoffs this year, there's something like 80% conversion on third down.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. But that defense too, man, my gosh, they've been a good match all year long, but I got to give it to them. I mean, even though they gave up 33 points, they made some clutch plays when they needed to.
Oh yeah. Brandon Graham, who was their first round pick, coming up with the strip fumble for the, on the sack, was huge. I mean, everybody I talked to going into work today, water cooler talk and everything. And I think, Kevin, you probably saw the same thing. When the Patriots got the ball with a little over 2 minutes left and they were down by five, you thought Brady's going to take them down and score a touchdown.
Yeah. And I want to mention too, yes, they gave up 33 points to New England, but it's New England.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to beat New England, you're going to have to score 41 points or more, like the Eagles did,
Yeah. Well, you know what? To be fair, New England didn't lose this game because of Tom Brady. Tom Brady could have easily been MVP in the loss. 504 yards, no interceptions, and three touchdowns.
Yeah. Jeez, that's an MVP performance right there. But you got to win the game to get that.
It was a very bizarre game for the Patriots because, one, they had special teams problems, and their special teams have been great all season. Their defense started out rough this season. They kind of reverted back to that. But it just never felt like the Patriots were ever in control of this game.
Okay.
You never felt like the – because even – let's go back to, like, even the Jacksonville game, Kevin, real quick. It felt like when the Patriots – about the mid-second half, you just felt like the Patriots got control of this game.
Right.
Jacksonville's not doing anything. But the Eagles just kept coming back. Foles was making crazy passes left and right.
Okay, hold on. We got to talk about the Foles catch, that little trick play. Okay, so.
Okay, wait. Before you do that, every place that sells Philly cheesesteaks will, by the end of the week, have a sandwich called the Philly Special.
Yeah. Nick Foles. Okay, hold on a second here. Now, the Doug Peters, is that the coach's name again?
Doug Peterson.
Okay,
Peterson.
Doug Peterson. Okay, so he's not a household name yet. He will be. So I had trouble remembering his name. So Brady and the Patriots try this trick play, all right? Brady drops the pass. Don't know if it would have been a touchdown if he caught it, but it would have been a good gain, okay? So let me ask you, the exact same play Philly does it, and they pull it off. Is Doug going, I'm going to steal that play and use it against them? Or was this something you think that was in the playbook anyway?
Oh, it's been in the playbook, because I got a little story about this. Minnesota used this play against the Eagles on a Monday Night Football game this year to score a 2-point conversion.
Mm.
So it wasn't the first time Philly had seen it. Also, a couple of years ago, the Patriots used it against the Eagles. I think it was 1995. The Patriots used the exact same play against the Eagles.
Wow.
So the Eagles have seen this.
Okay. So, all right. But hold on though.
But no.
Hold on though. Do you think Doug decided to pull the trigger on that play because I'm like, I'm not going to let them try that against me. If they are going to do it, I'm going to do it against them.
I'm sure helping inspire it, but I mean, when you're on the 1 yard line, I think that's a pretty standard 2-point conversion play. Nick, you won't be able to do that in the NFL next year because everybody's going to be looking for it.
Yeah.
No, right.
The cat's out of the bag on that one. Just put it away now.
Oh man. So, jeez. Yeah.
But let's talk about a couple other things here with the Super Bowl too, Kevin. Let's talk about our Super Bowl MVP, Nick Folk. What a game this guy had, and what a playoff run for him.
Well,
everybody kind of stuck the fork in the Eagles because Nick Folk, you know, looked horrible with the Rams. Everybody forgets he had a huge season a couple years before that with Chip Kelly in Philly, where he put up easily MVP type numbers. But that's when Chip Kelly's crazy offense was actually working in the NFL. But I mean, he didn't forget how to quarterback. This is a guy who was about to retire, and Andy Reid basically resurrected his career with a backup season as the backup in Kansas City, kind of gave him confidence again. He gets a backup job in Philly, figuring he'll play behind Carson Wentz. Everybody figures Carson Wentz's team. Carson Wentz goes down in week 15, and Nick Foles looks horrible in the final three regular season games for the Eagles. Nothing. And then even
was he really that bad? I mean, they didn't lose all those games, did they?
No, but they didn't win them because of Nick Foles either. I mean, you remember that Monday night game at the end of the season with the Raiders.
Yeah, yeah. Still beat the Raiders, though.
He looked okay in their first playoff game where they beat the Falcons. He looked solid, nothing spectacular. But then he just looked like an all-world quarterback in the NFC Championship against the Vikings, and he just continued that in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that touchdown pass to Corey Clement was just a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, it's definitely deserved. He helped, you know, lead this team through the playoffs as underdogs and really brought the team together and made some clutch plays. He deserves the MVP. And I got to say too, it was really nice to see him up there on the winner's circle there and
the podium.
Yeah, the podium and holding his daughter up. And that was a really, really cool scene. The only thing I was kind of expecting this, but did I miss this or did it not happen? I kind of wish maybe that it'll happen during the victory parade, but I kind of wish someone would have said we should thank Carson Wentz for at least getting us most of the way.
Oh, I'm sure at the parade it's going to happen. Everybody's caught up in the moment at that Super Bowl. And I'm sure there was some people in interviews afterwards that have mentioned Carson Wentz because they know they're not there without Carson Wentz. And I think that's going to be the big story of the Eagles offseason. Here you've got the Super Bowl MVP, and you've got one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. Guy who would have probably won league MVP if he hadn't.
We'll talk about that later in the show. But, yeah, definitely that's interesting. Yeah. I just kind of wish there would have been a little shout-out during the victory podium speech, but yeah, well deserved though. But let's talk about the Patriots for a second here. A certain player that was benched.
This was bizarre. Malcolm Butler, I mean, Super Bowl hero of last year's Super Bowl against when they played Seattle, benched, and it was a weird thing from the beginning. Because if you remember when they showed, he was bawling his eyes out during the national anthem.
He was, yeah. Now, why was he billing? Was it a disciplinary action, you think?
Nobody wants to answer this question. Bill Belichick won't talk about it. Malcolm Butler's pretty upset. He did play a few special teams plays, but he did not play one down on defense.
Some people are saying it might have made a difference.
I think it would have. I think there's a couple of those third downs that might not have been converted. I heard an interesting theory when I was listening to a podcast at work today. Bill Simmons, who's a huge Patriots fan. I was listening to his podcast, and he's got a pretty good feel on the heartbeat of the Patriots. He threw out this idea. Bill Belichick told him he wasn't going to play that much because they felt he was a matchup problem and because they wanted to go with a bigger cornerback against Alshon Jeffrey. Butler doesn't take it well, and Belichick's the kind of coach that's just going to say, well, then screw you. I'm not going to play you at all.
When you say doesn't take it well, he, curses, says something insulting? Is that what
probably
you mean?
Probably says a few colorful things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's not forget, Malcolm Butler's been, it's been a weird season for him. He was, everybody thought he was going to get traded because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. That never happens. I mean, there was reports during the draft he was going to be shipped to New Orleans as part of the Brandon Cooks.
Malcolm Butler, I know where you can go. I know a certain Chucky that might want to have you.
Well, now, wait. Should we really go there considering the Raiders' histories with ex-Super Bowl MVPs?
Point taken. But, yeah, that's weird, man. I mean, I guess him crying during the national anthem had nothing to do with his getting emotions caught up by the national anthem. There was something else in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a weird story, and I think eventually the truth will come out, but it's not going to be anytime soon. But the other big thing for the Patriots is there was Brady had a great game, but there was none of that Tom Brady magic this time.
If he would have caught the pass thrown to him, it would have started that.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about it. He gets the ball at the end of the game. We all think, oh, here it is. Patriots are going to come downfield. And he gets sacked and stripped and fumbles. And that basically seals the game for Philly. Yeah, there was a Hail Mary chance, really. If that would have hit, then I would have just said, yeah, the NFL's rigged. Tom Brady's not human, and he's going to disappear as a thing of white light at the end of this game. But, no, it just – I think it caught up – a few things caught up with the Patriots. I think the Patriots kind of – I don't want to say they're going with below-average players in a lot of positions, but I think there's a lot of average players, and they just get by with the scheme they run and the greatness of Brady bailing them out.
Let me ask you this. I'm not an expert when it comes to the Patriots' offense here. I mean, I know what I see, but was their offensive line outmatched by that Philly defense at all, maybe?
No, because think about it. Brady, that was the only sack in the game on either side.
But hold on. There was a lot of pressure throughout the whole game, though. Even though there was just that one sack, there was a lot of rushes. I mean, he was getting pressed all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Philly's defense and front seven is one of the best in the league, so I think they are a little better than the offensive line. Let's not do – we got to say this, too. Maybe this game is a little different if Brandon Cooks doesn't get knocked into about 3 weeks from now.
This is true. That was a hard hit, man.
And I mean, I don't think it was an illegal hit. Cooks just turned in a direction as the guy was already coming in to tackle him. And it was just one of those unfortunate incidences where angles met and you have, but I mean, I think that was a big impact on the Patriots because that really took away the deep ball for them. And not having Cook's speed really hurt them, I think, especially towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, congrats to the Eagles.
Yeah, congrats, Philly. I got to tell you, though, I saw a lot of negative Philly fan videos prior to the Super Bowl, like during the championship game. And Philly fans have known to have been, you know, pretty, pretty hard and harsh. And they have a history of it, too. And, of course, there were some fires that were lit and a hotel awning that collapsed and stuff. But I was getting a little worried about Philly there. But I think they're going to be okay.
Well, let's see when the parade comes around. Rumor has it Bud Light's going to be giving away free beer at the Philly parade.
Oh, sure. That shouldn't add to any shenanigans at all.
Exactly. Well, I mean, come on. Kevin Hart can lead the way, apparently.
Yeah, if he can make it to the podium.
So, well, you know what, Kevin? We're talking about the Super Bowl, and of course, that also means commercials.
Yeah, Super Bowl commercials.
And, you know, with the last couple of years, I think the commercials have been kind of, nothing's that really stand out. And I thought, while not a great year for commercials, we did rebound a little bit. There were some pretty good commercials this year. I think two of my top favorites, and there were several I liked, but I think my top two favorites were probably the Tide commercials with David Harbour of Stranger Things.
Him in the Giants commercial, but I really enjoyed David Harbour's commercial, especially when you got the Old Spice guy coming up. And you think he's doing the Old Spice commercials again. He's like, nope, David Harbour's on the same horse. It's a Tide commercial.
See, no stains. and think about it. They until they actually did the reveal of what it was, which was a couple commercials in. That was like some great marketing.
It is
on their part.
It is, and I got to give credit to Dave Harbour for doing those. They were very, very clever, and I love those.
But I think the other one that I think was the most fun was the Amazon Alexa loses her voice commercial.
Yeah. Gordon Ramsay, who else?
Rebel Wilson,
Anthony Hopkins. Now, you got to, here's the thing. Okay, I got to be honest with you. I took a break a few times, so I missed one or two of these commercials. Remind me, what was the Lexus Black Panther commercial?
They basically had it, they took some footage from the film and mixed it in with some of the people actually performing, and they had that one of the actresses who's playing his sister driving a Lexus remotely. She was like in a hologram of a Lexus.
Okay.
And it ends with Chadwick Boseman dropping into the Lexus like the Black Panther would.
Okay.
And then it ends with him walking out of the suit and everything. It was just, it was very cool. You had the music from the trailer. You had several of the people from the movie in it. It was very well done. It was very cool.
Okay. Now this one I really like too. The Rocket Mortgage Keegan-Michael Key commercial explaining stuff.
No. I need this TV show. I need Keegan-Michael Key explains it all.
Yeah. Now set up the commercial.
Well, people are talking and they're using slang and stuff like, and here Keegan, Mike, and they're looking all confused. And here pops out of nowhere Keegan Michael Key just explaining what certain slang means or what certain things mean, whether it's in a rap song or somebody using slang. And then at the end of the commercial, they're showing people trying to get a mortgage and they're talking all this stuff. And he doesn't even try to explain it. He just hands them the Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah.
But I thought that was very well done, and I mean I love Key and Peele. So now let's talk about the one that I think some people are, it's kind of got a little bit of up and down. Some people really liked it, some people didn't. But that was the NFL commercial with the New York Giants, with Eli Manning and Odell Beckham getting on their Dirty Dancing.
I thought this was funny. But the funniest part for me though was like the players on the side going, just let them do it.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of built up to it, and you know, I thought it was fun, and having those two do it was especially good, especially Beckham. I mean, that was great. And of course, Kevin, the one we've been talking, of course, on our other show, Culture Clash, about for the last few weeks, the Dundee trailer, Australia tourism commercial.
Oh, dude, I was so disappointed. No, don't get me wrong, I love the commercial, but to find out that it was. What I liked about this too is, I'm sorry, who plays Dundee's son? What's the actor's name?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride playing it like this is not a movie, is it? It's just a commercial for tourism. But you got to see Paul Hogan dressed up as Crocodile Dundee briefly, which is great. But yes. This has been probably one of the best trolling America stunts ever.
Yes. This, I got to give him credit. This may be one of the greatest marketing things I've seen in a while.
Yes. So we think we're getting a trailer, teaser this. You get all these Australian greats in it, and it's just promoting tourism in Australia. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
It already worked on you. You're going to Australia in a month.
Yes, I am going to Australia. I've already worked, yes.
And, of course, just lastly, and we're going to talk more about this on our show Culture Clash, but we got the solo teaser spot, which, Kevin, some people are enjoying more than the actual full-on trailer.
Yeah, that dropped during the Super Bowl, pretty early in the Super Bowl, which was nice, and then eventually went online. And as you said, we will. If you want to hear more about our reaction to this teaser and the longer teaser trailer that dropped at Good Morning America and then online this Monday morning, head over to Culture Clash later this week and check it out. But yeah, they showed some stuff that wasn't in the regular teaser trailer, which is good. And it was a really cool thing to see as first images of the solo movie.
Yeah, Donald Glover, Orlando Calrissian, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And we will also be talking on Culture Clash about all the other movie trailers that hit during the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, now, Kevin, let's talk a little bit regular NFL news, and let's start with. I want to start with actually something that isn't in the notes because I blanked out and forgot about it. We had the NFL awards over the weekend, and we got Tom Brady named league MVP. You had Aaron Donald, play of the Rams, named Defensive Player of the Year. Todd Gurley of the Rams was named Offensive Player of the Year. Alvin Kamara won Offensive Rookie of the Year and Marshawn Lattimore won Defensive Rookie of the Year, with Sean McVay of the Rams winning Coach of the Year. Can you really argue with any of these?
Maybe the Brady one.
I think if Wentz hadn't gotten hurt, Wentz would have won it. I don't see anybody else because of all the injuries this year that could have maybe Gurley, but I just don't think he had enough.
Yeah.
I mean, Brady.
Yeah.
I think if Wentz hadn't gotten hurt, it was.
Yeah, I think he's kind of default there, but yeah. But no, good choices. I agree with him.
And the other thing was, we had players selected to the Hall of Fame. I can't remember everybody who was on there, but we had Ray Lewis. We had Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Jerry Kramer, the longtime Minnesota defensive back. You had a longtime general manager, Bobby Bethard, was named to the Hall of Fame as well. Interesting class this year. A couple of big receivers, Terrell Owens finally getting in and Randy Moss getting in as well. But I think both well-deserved, even with the controversies they had in their careers.
Yeah, I'm feeling Randy Moss more, but Terrell Owens I'm not quite sold on right now, especially with all the players that have won Super Bowls that have not even been mentioned and brought in. And one of the people I want to throw out there is Phil Villapiano from the Raiders, won a Super Bowl and definitely deserves to be in there for his accomplishments. And if you want to go even, coaches for the Raiders that won Super Bowls, even more than one Super Bowl, and haven't even been mentioned. And I'm not, of course I'm favoring the Raiders, but there's a lot of other players out there that I think that need some attention to get in there. A lot of these senior players. And for Terrell Owens, is he in on his first try?
No, it's probably been about 4 or 5 years now for him.
Well, isn't four or five years, isn't that when there has to be 4 or 5 years before you can get in on first ballot?
No, this is probably, I think, his third year on the ballot.
Yeah. I know he's got impressive numbers and stuff, but I would have given his spot to someone much more deserving. Sorry.
Well, let me throw out a name for you, Kevin, because it's actually a name here, because I live in the Tampa area, that a lot of people have been wanting to see in, is John Lynch.
Oh, totally. I would have given it to Lynch over Terrell Owens any day.
And next year it's going to... Yeah, let me throw out the big name that people consider the headliner of this class. Brian Urlacher also got in from the Chicago Bears. Well-deserved.
Yes, I agree with that one.
Ray Lewis is considered the headliner for...
Right.
I'm not sure how I feel about this, Kevin. I mean, he's a great linebacker. Probably just by based off of play alone, should be in the Hall of Fame. And I know this is my personal opinion, but Ray Lewis got away with something a long time ago after a Super Bowl, in my personal opinion. And for him to be a first ballot Hall of Famer with that kind of cloud hanging over his head just didn't sit well with me.
I understand what you're saying, and I can't argue with you. I know he's spoke on that, and I don't know if he's atoned to it to where we're all happy with it, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying, and for those of you who don't know, it was several years ago now, after the Super Bowl in Atlanta, Ray Lewis was actually accused of possible murder.
Yeah.
In a park. Well, I don't think Ray Lewis may have I'm going to say Ray Lewis didn't commit murder. I think he knows something that he has not told anybody.
Right.
I think he knows what's going on there and has been holding it. So there's that. But I mean, if you're just going to go play on the field, he's definitely a worthy Hall of Famer. I mean,
You know what I would like to see? I would love to see a couple more spots open up for some players that deserve to be there for their accomplishments. These older retired players have been around that just totally overlooked. And I think there needs to be a committee that can pool these guys. And I don't know if it's rather opening up another spot or two, but there's people that deserve from all teams that deserve to be in there, that aren't these flashy, first ballot, yep, come on in, guys. Because I think a lot of people have forgotten about him. A lot of, and I'm really surprised by that. What's your feeling on that?
I think they could add more one veteran thing like they did with Jerry Kramer this year. And they kind of do, where there's a guy who's maybe he's outside of being elected by the sports writers, but now he's being elected in by the veterans committee.
Right.
Kind of like baseball does. But next year's going to be crowded because there's a couple of guys who probably are shoe-ins first-time Heisman, and that's led by Ed Reed of the Ravens. That right. guy is probably one of the greatest safeties to ever play the game. He's going to get in on his first try. You have Troy Polamalu, who's going to be up as well.
He deserves it. I just want to see some people that get – I want to see some people that are still alive – can get get in there that deserve to be in there and not wait till they die like Kenny Stabler.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think they need to work that out a little bit. But let's go to the thing that actually stole some of the thunder from the beginning of the Super Bowl week, Kevin, and it actually broke right as we got done recording last week's End Zone. My Kansas City Chiefs made a trade. They traded Alex Smith to the Washington Redskins for a third round pick and a very young, good young defensive back. And I'm actually more excited about that part of the trade than I am the pick they received. But the writing was on the wall for this. Patrick Mahomes, they invested two first round picks basically in him. He was going to be the starter. I think they reached their potential with Alex Smith. I don't think he was ever going to get them past the playoff and make that final step. And Alex Smith was a great quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. We got there. They started winning. He was the perfect quarterback. There's just something about Alex Smith, and I like Alex Smith, but he just can't seem to get over that hump for whatever reason it is. But Kansas City had really no choices with Mahomes on the up and coming, and Alex Smith was an $18 million salary cap hit, and they are in a little bit of a cap crunch. That $18 million freed up off their cap is absolutely huge. And I think they got a good return for a quarterback who's going to be 34 years old next season. And then Washington went and paid Alex Smith, giving him a 4-year extension worth $23 million a season, Kevin.
Yeah, 90 something over the whole thing, I guess. Do we know how much of that is guaranteed?
That I don't know. I have not seen that number, but I got to think at least 50%.
So then, where does Cousins land?
Well, here's where it gets even more crazy, because this broke later in the week. The Washington Redskins are actually thinking about putting the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins again so they can trade him instead of letting him walk as a free agent.
So they want to put the franchise tag on him, assuming that they will trade him so someone else will take the contract.
Well, just so they can get something for him without him walking as a free agent. Here's the thing. If nobody wants to trade for Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins will count $34 million on the Washington Redskins salary cap if they give him the franchise tag.
I don't see them giving the franchise tag. I think they're just going to let him walk. They've got their quarterback now. I don't see them doing that.
I think you have to let him walk. I think this is just silly on the Redskins are thinking, well, we'll recoup some of the things we lost in the Alex Smith trade. No, this is stupid on the Redskins' part. And I would feel bad for Kirk Cousins. He's been franchised 2 years in a row. I thought there was a rule in place where they could only franchise after so many times, like twice, and then that was it. You weren't allowed to franchise. But apparently you still can. I would laugh, and I would love to see the rest of the NFL do this. If Washington franchises Kirk Cousins, nobody trade for him. And just say, Washington, you've got over half your salary cap invested in two quarterbacks. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. So let's look at possible landing spots for Cousins, because I'm assuming that he's going to want to get paid, and he probably will.
I think we're going to see a lot of Kirk Cousins next year in our division, Kevin. I think he's going to end up with the Denver Broncos.
I hope not. But what about the Jets or Buffalo?
I don't see it. I think the two teams that are probably the most appealing as far as ready to win now teams would be the Denver Broncos or the Arizona Cardinals.
I wouldn't ready to win now Broncos. I don't know about that.
Well, really think about it. The Broncos quarterback play is what killed them all season. They can get Cousins.
I think the sweet spot for him would definitely be Arizona, especially with David Johnson getting better and the weapons on offense there. Personally, I think that would be a better fit for him. But when it comes down to it, it's going to depend on where he wants to go, right? I mean, well, let's look at where else could he go?
Okay, well, let's look at the teams that are really in need of a quarterback. There is another outside chance here. The Minnesota Vikings do not have a quarterback under contract when the season ends.
I see
all
that.
Three of
the
quarterbacks are free agents.
Let's say, yeah, but let's look. They're probably going to try to keep Case Keenum. Then they're going to have Teddy Bridgewater. I see them getting rid of Sam Bradford.
Right, Bradford, but all three of them are free agents. Let's just say Minnesota goes, well, we think Kirk Cousins is an upgrade. We're not sold that Case Keenum, this was a real deal. Maybe this is a one-year wonder. And then they maybe try to re-sign Teddy Bridgewater. But I think realistically, you're looking at the Broncos, the Cardinals, the Jets, the Cleveland Browns, and maybe one or two other teams that could be surprised in the mix. But I think really
hold on, though. Keep in mind where Carson went. I'm sorry. Where Cousins wants to go, because this is going to be his choice.
Well, but Cousins, I think he's got to go somewhere where he's going to start. I mean, so you've got to keep that in mind. He's even said he's has some interest in Cleveland, because to be the quarterback to turn around the Cleveland Browns would make you a folk hero in Cleveland.
This is true.
and the truth of the matter is, Kevin, I think there's talent in Cleveland. You've got those two number one picks. If they sign Cousins, they don't necessarily have to draft a quarterback. They could go with like a Saquon Barkley of Penn State and a stud defensive player.
Right.
And I think there's talent in Cleveland. I think the quarterback play. And let's not forget, Cleveland has Josh Gordon back for a full season.
I think Cleveland should save their first round pick on some, you know, non-quarterback position and get a seasoned quarterback like Cousins, or whether it's Bridgewater or Case, if they can steal Case Keenum, if he's going to be unrestricted free. You said all three of them are unrestricted free agents there in Minnesota,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Here's my Case Keenum prediction is either he stays in Minnesota or he ends up going to the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I just go real back, though. Going back to the Alex Smith trade, as a Kansas City fan, I'm happy for Alex Smith that he's getting paid. I think we're going to learn, though, that Alex Smith also benefited from Andy Reid. Going to that mesh in Washington is going to be tough.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Patrick Mahomes era to start. This kid has a cannon for an arm. There's a lot of talent there. Am I expecting a step back next season for Kansas City? Yeah, I am, because they've got to address some defensive issues as well, but make some offensive line changes.
One thing back on Washington here. This is my personal opinion. I think Washington is a better team with Kirk Cousins. Nothing against nothing against Alex Smith here. But I'm under the impression either Cousins did not want to continue being there, or maybe they didn't want Cousins there, but fans loved him, as far as I understood. Matthew Berry, huge Redskins fans, loved Cousins. He's been saying all year, pay the man. Not happening.
Yeah, I don't think Washington wants to. I don't think Washington is as high on Kirk Cousins as the fans are. And I think after the way it's gone the last few years with this whole franchise tag debacle, I think it's time that those two split apart. I think that's just best for both sides.
I think it was mutual on both sides, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? That kind of wraps up the NFL news. And Kevin, the only thing I'm going to tell you is just quit playing the regular season of fantasy football. Just stop, you know, just do playoffs only, because obviously you're a much better playoff quarterback than you are a regular season quarterback. Problem is you can never seem to make the playoffs because you're not that good of a regular season quarterback.
Gee, thanks, friend. Okay, I've had a couple of bad years in my fantasy. I haven't reached the playoffs in a little while with the regular fantasy team. And, you know, I'm just going through a slump right now, you know.
Hey, who won one of his leagues this year? Who made the playoffs in all of his leagues this year? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, Kyle. But right now I am owning the fantasy NFL fantasy playoff challenge 2 years in a row. I think it is 2 years in a row at least.
Yep. Except, you know, what is Kevin going to do when the Patriots get bad? They're going to have problems. Ride that Patriot train, boy.
Yeah. So, going into the Super Bowl, I had, six of my, eight members of the team, all Patriots, of course, getting me quadruple points. And I ended up winning with a total of 717 points with my buddy Bob behind me at 700 points. And we had a little side bet there. Actually, we had two side bets there that went into this. So check this out. You know how Bob and I do these little weekly bets every week?
Mm-hmm.
And we bet on a point system. You know, if you win, you get a point. And we have these other little things like the pick of the week, the underdog pick, and we keep track of that as like a tiebreaker or something. But going into the end of the season, we realized that we needed another tiebreaker because we had the same amount of pick of the weeks. And we agreed. Now, normally our side bet is whoever has the best between those two in the NFL playoff challenge, the loser has to find some cool item that's not like a t-shirt or jersey or hat that has the winning member's favorite team on it. And Bob's favorite team is the Bills. Mine is obviously the Raiders. So the loser has to buy something cool for the winner. But we also decided to use this game as a tiebreaker when it came down to the final points of our weekly football bets. And we have this weird thing, too, that where at the beginning of the season, we have this 10-point swing. If you can choose the two teams that make the Super Bowl, you get 10 bonus points at the end of the season. But we have a clause halfway through the season on season 9. If you want to change your two teams, you can, but now it's only worth 5 points. Well, through season 9, I'm sorry, through week nine, I chose the Patriots and I chose the Philadelphia Eagles are going to make it in the Super Bowl. Well, it turned out that going toward through the playoffs, because once we hit the playoffs, the first round wild cards were 2 points, the third round divisionals 3, the conference is 4, and the Super Bowl bets worth 5. Well, I was down to him big time in the playoffs, and I had to win the 2 conference game and also get the Super Bowl pick to basically end up tying. And that's exactly what happened. we ended up tying on total points, and the tiebreaker was the fantasy playoff challenge. And and going in, I pretty much won that bet going into the Super Bowl because looking at what he had compared to what I have, and I was already ahead of him. I pretty much wrapped it up. Although I was getting a little nervous because I kept bragging, saying, "Yeah, you know, I'll keep in mind my players are getting quadruple points for you know." Like Tom Brady throws a touchdown, it's worth 6 points, times that. I mean, when Scott Gaskowski got his first field goal at 3 points, times that by 4, I got 12 points for one kick. But I got a little nervous when there was that sack fumble against Brady because that was also minus quadruple points.
Yes.
But it worked out. I got some really nice points off of Gronk and the kicker, and White even got me a touchdown and some yards. And, of course, Brady threw for over 500 yards. That helped as well. So I think Brady alone gave me 120 points. It was crazy with Gronk just almost reaching 100 for me. So, yeah, I got number one at 717 with Bob at 700. Shout out to Super Swede. He's at 680 in third place. Kyle, you squeaked into the top 5 at 602 points. Did you learn anything about this playoff challenge?
Yeah, you know, until Tom Brady retires, you take all Patriots every week, no matter what.
I'll tell you though, if I would have taken Philadelphia and just paid up on Philadelphia, I may have gotten more points.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I got to say this too real quick, just talk about the season long. The early betting odds for next season came out, and the Patriots are the favorite to win the Super Bowl again, followed closely by the Eagles.
Yeah,
I think, though, we're going to start seeing a changing of the guard. I think the Patriots, I think we're going to start, maybe they have one more good run left in them, but I think age and talent are starting to catch up, and I think the league is starting to catch up. You've got a lot of good young talent in the league right now, and a lot of teams, I think, that are getting close to making a step up. You've got just looking in the AFC real quick, you look at what is Chucky going to do with the Raiders,
right?
I think there's probably an adjustment year there, but I think by year 2 The Raiders are going to be a factor. Kansas City coming in with Mahomes. Again, an adjustment year probably, but I think Mahomes is the deal. Let's not forget the Houston Texans getting Deshaun Watson.
That's going to be interesting. If we don't have the injuries we had this last year, I think it's going to be a very competitive league.
Yeah. Andrew Luck back healthy next year with Josh McDaniels coaching him.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, you look at even in their own division, if Buffalo can figure out their quarterback issues, they're going to be an improved football team.
Yeah, true. I mean, of course, you know, we've got if they can keep Case Keenum, I think the core there for the team of Minnesota can make another push here.
And let's not forget the Rams. Rams are very young, totally. And you know what? We've avoided it all episode, but Jimmy G and the 49ers.
Jimmy GQ.
Because wouldn't it be ironic if Dreamweaver led the 49ers to play against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl and officially dethroned Tom Brady?
That would be fun. I'm, you know, as much as we've had fun with Jimmy GQ this year, and you know, it's a good thing for the 49ers, because being a Raider fan, we love to trash on the 49ers, you know, because it's just a Battle of the Bay thing. But when the 49ers are good, I think the NFL's more entertaining. And a lot of people said that about the Raiders. When the Raiders are good, NFL's more entertaining. And and there is a game, I believe, this next year against the Raiders and the 49ers. I think it might be a Monday night game. People are speculating. But I would love for the 49ers to be back up there as a competitive team there in the NFC West and not be the team they have been, especially if Jimmy Garoppolo can. Because I'm expecting Jimmy Garoppolo to get paid.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to get paid. And you think about it, it's kind of a changing of guard in the NFC West. Seattle's going to have salary cap issues and a lot of veteran players.
Yeah.
Going. So the age is catching up with them. You got the Rams and the 49ers, who John Lynch has done an amazing job with 1 year as their GM and how fast he's going to get them turned around. And it comes down to getting the right quarterback. But, you know, I think we're kind of looking at a little bit of a change. Dallas is going to be better. You know, Dak Prescott and his no suspension on Ezekiel Elliott, they're going to be tough. But, you know, we just kind of wraps up the season. Kevin, it's been one of the more bizarre NFL seasons I've experienced in a long time.
Yeah, it has. Gosh.
You know, injuries, rookies just coming out of nowhere. I mean, come on. Who would have thought at the beginning of the season, Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara would be having the kind of seasons they had, one leading the NFL in rushing and one just exploding on the season.
Leonard Fournette, too, yeah.
Todd Gurley having a major rebound. Jared Goff becoming a legit NFL quarterback.
Imagine what Dalvin Cook would have done if he'd stayed healthy too, you know. And
you know, and we've got teams that, you know, if they can get a few things turned around, make a few right personnel decisions, they're going to improve. You look here in where I'm at in Tampa. You look at Detroit with their new head coach. They still have Matthew Stafford at quarterback.
Okay, I'm putting Cleveland on notice here. All right, and this is, and I'm also speaking for our buddy Norm here. Cleveland, go out and get that quarterback, that season quarterback. Go out and get your Cousins or Case Keenum or someone. I prefer Cousins. Go get Cousins and get those two number one and number four picks done here, and make a splash with that. And just on a side note, I think it's during one of the combines or whatever, the 49ers and the Raiders are going to have a coin flip to see who gets the ninth or the 10th pick. The ninth and the 10th pick.
Yeah. Now, I've got the answer for Cleveland, what they need to do, Kevin.
What's that?
For this season only, for the draft, they need to hire Kevin Costner to be their GM.
Oh, totally! Or just have him watch the movie and learn how to do it right, okay?
Yeah, exactly. But with that, you know what? It's been a fun season.
Okay, so hold on. Yeah. Should we let the listeners know? Okay, let's remind the listeners. Now that the Super Bowl's done, when are we coming back? Are we going to do like maybe a free agent thing? When does the free agent thing hit?
I was gonna hit that. Our next show, we're going to take a little break. We need to recharge our batteries. We will be back that first week of free agency after a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, which I believe is right around April 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
A couple of days after that, you know, to kind of talk about all the big free agent signs, because you know how it is, Kevin. They usually, all the big names sign within that first week. So probably sometime after that first week of free agency, we'll come back, talk about free agency.
Okay.
And then at the end of April, we have the NFL draft.
Right. So it's funny how you said we're going to take a little break. So does that mean I'm going to be recording only 3 or 4 podcasts a week instead of 5 or 6?
Well, wait. You're still stuck in your Groundhog Day, which you should be up to about 1,057 podcasts a day
this is
now.
True.
Hey, how do you think I feel? I'm the one who edits all this stuff.
I know.
You do. But no, I mean, seriously. So we're going to be doing a free agent special, talk about the big free agents on the move and how they affect and whatever other news happens there. And then we'll be back probably after the NFL draft to talk about the impact of what could have what happened in the draft, because we don't want to bore you with a draft preview. You're going to have Mel Kiper for that. You're going to have Todd McShay for that. Mike Mayock. They're the professionals. You know, let's see what they are. We'll talk the NFL impact of the draft after the draft and whatever trades.
Come on, Cleveland, make him an impact here.
And then after that, probably have our training camp episode sometime about the middle of training camp, and then.
Can we have an episode just on Jimmy GQ, see where he's at, and just, you know, talk about Jimmy GQ the whole episode?
I'll tell you what, Kevin, you call John Lynch, see if you can't hook that up for you.
I kid.
You're a California kid. You can probably make that work. My date with Jimmy GQ, a special podcast edition by Kevin Reitzel. But with that, Kevin, it's been a fun season. I'm going to give you a chance to kind of say a thank you to the fans for this season.
Yeah, I just definitely this, you know, we love doing the end zone here. And I know we've got a few listeners out there that appreciate this. Of course, I want to thank Jennifer Walk and also Super Sweet. And thanks, Super Sweet, for coming on earlier. We appreciate you being on there. And sorry about your Pats not making some history there, but I know how I the thing that I respect about Super Sweet is he was there during the dark times.
Steve Grogan times.
Yes, yeah.
He's not just a
Brady era fan that people bandwagoned on, you know. I mean, I know a lot of people that are Pats fans but they haven't been through losing seasons, you know. And so I respect that, Super Sweet. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the retweets and on everything through Twitter that you've done for us, and all the other listeners too. Thank you so much. We hope you've enjoyed this silly little end zone show and our fun with Jimmy GQ.
Yeah, it's been a great season. My sentiments to Pete, Super Sweet. Thank you so much for being such an active part of the family here and coming on the show. Even though you are a Patriots fan, but we can't all be perfect. Just ask Kevin, you know, Raiders fan and all that kind of stuff. But
I
do have to give a shout out to a real Raiders fan with our good buddy Murph over at Raiders Fan Radio.
That's right. And I want to give a little shout out to them. Sonny and Murph at Raider Fan Radio. I've been listening to them all year, and they just put out a great interview with Phil Villapiano. Who we've been wanting to get at their nod for a Hall of Fame. And I had a chance to meet Phil. He's my favorite Raider defensive player, probably my favorite defensive player of all time. Great guy, just loves being a Raider. So shout out to Sonny and Murph for snagging that interview.
Yeah, of course. Why does the Chiefs fan have to remind you to talk about your Raider buddies? You know, but it's been a great season, if not a crazy season. And it's been a lot of fun to talk about. And, you know, next year, I think Kevin and I, both of our teams, are going to be on a very similar level again. The AFC West is going to be a shootout again.
Chucky's back! Chucky!
Let the Mahomes air begin. It's going to be an air raid in Kansas City. And, of course, you know, Kevin, as much as I hate to say it, the San Diego Chargers scare me a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, that front with Ingram and Bosa on that defensive line, but I want to thank everybody for listening and dealing with our craziness as we try to give you the latest news in football, the recaps of the week, and of course, the best mediocre fantasy football advice on the internet.
Yes.
And we hope you all had a great Super Bowl, and whether your team won or not, we hope you enjoyed the season and enjoyed the fun we tried to give to you, and we will be back with our free agency special very, very soon. With that, Kevin's going to call Jimmy GQ and see if he can't lead us for the final time in the 2017 season into the end zone.